Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller, and really pleased to have with us today Jeff Gilman of Maplewood, Minnesota, associate professor in the Department of Horticultural Sciences at the University of Minnesota, and author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. He certainly thinks organic gardening has many, many pluses, and we'll be able to answer your questions relating to organic gardening. He's the author of The Truth About Organic Gardening, Benefits, Drawbacks, and the Bottom Line. And one of the guys with the green thumb here at Wisconsin Public Radio is Jim Packard. And Jim joining me here, and that's
my
a great
thumb
book.
Is green because I write the checks. that's not necessarily true. I often tote the compost and carry the mulch, do what's necessary. But I will say right out that in our family, we're CSA members. We mm-hmm. belong to the Harmony Valley CSA, and so we are supplied with organic vegetables locally produced through the summer. We get organically grown fruit from various places around the country in the fall and winter, and so I am a proponent. I believe in it, and I believe that it's taste and flavor, and that if you pick something when it's ripe, it's going to taste better, and that's one of the reasons why we're involved. Also, our health maintenance organization pays part of the cost because the Physicians Plus believes that it's in your best interest to eat that kind of food, and so if you'll eat more fruits and vegetables, they're picking up a share of the cost.
Well, you know, there are some businesses that will also share the cost when people contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, some companies, as a matter of fact. When you call in with your contribution at 1-800-383-9772, when you call in with your contribution, be sure to check with your company if you're working, because they'll often match your contribution. And I tell you what, we've got a great deal for you today. We have Jeff's book, The Truth About Organic Gardening, for a $120 contribution. For $120, we'll send you a copy of his book, Benefits, The Truth About Organic Gardening, Benefits, Drawbacks, and the Bottom Line. You'll also get the member benefit card with that $120 contribution, and that'll give you two-for-one dining across Wisconsin, 238 restaurants. So I tell you what, here is a very good deal, because you're going to like this book a lot, for one thing. It's got some great information about all the different kinds of things that we do or we think about doing when we're gardening. And there's some information about pesticides, about soil enrichment and fertilization, about weed control, insect control, and among other things. And Jeff takes a look at the organic side of this and comes up with some benefits, some drawbacks, and gives us the bottom line, Jim.
And he encourages you to make up your own mind on this. This is not something that he's putting out as gospel. He's just showing you both sides of the question of whether to go organic or not, and the drawbacks of going in that direction, as well as the pluses. So it's up to you to make that analysis. And that's the same way as we feel about Larry's show, that we encourage you to listen and make up your mind about what's being said. And in doing so, we hope that you enjoy the program and that you'll pledge to support the program at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org. And, of course, if you pledge at $10 a month, we'll send you The Truth About Organic Gardening. It is fresh off the press. In fact, it can't be more than a week old. And also the member benefit card, which gets you the dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin, performance and attraction benefits like two-for-one admission at children's museums, theaters, symphonies, and more. You get online shopping benefits and two-night stay for the price of one at Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota bed and breakfast. So this is a great card. It's getting better all the time, and it's available when you pledge at $10 a month or $120 at 800-383-9772.
You know, Jim, if we had 100 people call in with contributions of $120, we will have reached our goal for the program. Our goal is $12,000. We're sort of setting an interim goal at around $7,000 for the first hour, mm-hmm. and maybe $8,000 if we can, just so we make sure that we make that $12,000 goal. I tell you what, Garden Talk is a very popular program with many people. I hope it is in your mind as well as you listen to the program today. If Garden Talk is one of those programs that you look forward to every week, When you call in with your contribution, you're supporting Garden Talk. You're supporting the kinds of guests we have, guests like Jeff Gilman and all of the other great guests that we, Melinda Myers and all the other great guests that we have on every Friday, which is always a Garden Talk show between 11 and 12:30. So call in now with your support at 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. Call in with your contribution or go online, get your contribution in. $120, we'll send you a copy of the book, The Truth About Organic Gardening. You'll get the member benefit card, and we will be reaching our goal. And that's a very important thing for us to do today, because Garden Talk is a very popular program. Folks here know that you who garden and who love plants are also very giving people, and we hope you'll contribute now. When you do, you're going to feel great knowing that you've supported Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. And, of course, we want you to call in with your questions for Jeff Gilman as well. Jeff's with us by phone today. Jeff, hi.
Hey, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks.
Well, I know you've you got your doctorate in horticulture, and you've got a master's degree in entomology at the University of Georgia, and I know you grew up in the middle of a four-acre orchard, sort of.
So you did read the book.
Oh, of course. And you learned about pesticides from your dad, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. He was actually a research chemist, and when I was young, the family moved out to an orchard, and apples in Pennsylvania, you pretty much have to apply pesticides to control them. So, yeah, I was first introduced to pesticides through my dad having to use them to control coddling moth and a number of other insect pests that hit our trees.
How did you get interested in organic gardening and organic farming?
Sure. I've been interested in it for a long time. You know, when I was first introduced to it, I was really introduced to it through my work at the University of Georgia. And most of the people that I talked to weren't really fans of it because they couldn't see how you would produce enough food using these methods in order to feed the population. And I spent some time looking at it, and certainly you can produce more food than people that I used to talk with thought you could produce, but in some ways organic gardening and growing are limited. So I like to look at the plus and minus of using these different techniques.
And that's kind of the way your book is. Talk about your book and how you've got it organized. It's a lovely book.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. You know, I start off with an introduction talking about what organic is. And organic has been used and misused for many, many years now. So I try and provide a little bit of clarity to that, especially as it pertains to gardening. And then I get into talking about organic methods of enriching the soil and fertilizing, and the pluses and minuses of those. I don't ignore synthetics. I actually spend a lot of time talking a bit about synthetics, and I talk about the pluses and minuses of synthetics, too. And then I split it up into a section on weed control and insect control, disease control, controlling wildlife. And once again, in all these sections, I do not ignore synthetics because I think it's important
sure.
that you understand what you're trying to avoid.
Absolutely. How do you define? You mentioned organic right off the bat there. How do you define?
For the gardener in particular, I choose to define organic as natural. In other words, I'm not talking using the organic term or the organic chemistry term where it's carbon containing. I talk about organic as natural products. So I include all kinds of natural products, even if they're not acceptable to the organic grower. And organic growers have some natural products that they're not allowed to use. For example, tobacco. Organic growers cannot use tobacco in their fields and still say that their food's organically produced. But for a gardener to go organic, they could say they're using tobacco, and since it's natural, they could use it.
Some people are scratching their heads as we speak, saying, how in the heck would you use tobacco in how would I use that in my garden? Give us an example.
Sure. Tobacco could be used against slugs as a barrier against slugs. Tobacco can be mixed up with water and sprayed out, and the nicotine that gets into the water can make it a very effective insecticide, very dangerous, but nonetheless very effective. Tobacco Let's see, what else can it be? It can also be used as a barrier against ants and things like that. So tobacco is actually used in a variety of ways.
Tell you what, I want to give the phone number for people to call in. If you'd like to join in, maybe you've got a question about gardening as it relates to organics, or we can talk the other as well with our guest, Jeff Gilman. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you're in the Madison area, you can reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890, and email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I think organic has got a kind of an interesting history. Before we go to the phones, Jeff, give us a little thumbnail on the history of organic gardening.
Sure. Well, it started with Sir Albert Howard back in really the early 1900s, and basically he was proposing that we should use waste to fertilize our fields, and by waste I mean human waste, animal waste, etc., to put back into our fields to keep things going. He was not the best media person, though, so it fell on J.I. Rodale, whose real name, by the way, is Jerry Cohen, which I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
He actually changed his name in order to, he was media savvy. He wanted a name that would get out there. And, of course, J.I. Rodale is the namesake of Rodale Press.
Yeah.
And that's how the organic movement really got going with him. J.I. Rodale wrote a book, if anybody's interested, called Organic Front, which is just fascinating. And then, of course, from J.I. Rodale, Rachel Carson came. Really, J.I. Rodale was mostly interested in fertility, whereas Rachel Carson was mostly interested in pesticides. And Rachel Carson has really did a lot, she of course passed away many years ago, did a lot to outline what we should do in terms of staying away from synthetic pesticides.
There's a woman who does a one-woman show on her life, and we'll actually be inviting her to campus. My Department of Life Sciences Communication is celebrating its centennial year, and she does Rachel Carson kind of during and after the writing of Silent Spring. And it's fascinating. I have to invite you to that.
That would be awesome. That would be great.
I've seen the video. I've seen her on video, and she's coming to the UW-Madison campus in September, I believe, to do her show. So I'm really looking forward to that. Well, we better give Greg in Fountain City a chance. He's been waiting a little while. Greg, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I've recently got involved in eating organically, mostly for the health benefits. I'm trying to get a lot of that synthetic stuff out of my diet. And I don't have a garden per se because I live in an apartment, but I was talking to somebody who was an organic farmer, and he said when you go to the store, like say a co-op, and buy a lot of the organics, in a lot of ways it's a hoax, because he said there's so many loopholes or so many requirements for organic gardening that when he was a farmer, he said the people that would certify them would just certify them because there was so much to look at that it was overwhelming, and they could end up using pesticides and all that other stuff that we don't want in our foods.
Well, Greg, I'm happy to talk about that, and I do cover that a little bit in the book, although I don't really call it a hoax.
No.
One of the things here that people need to understand is that within the realm of organic growing, there are a ton of pesticides that are still allowed, and some of those pesticides are just as bad and sometimes worse than synthetics. And I have rotenone, copper sulfate, Bordomix, I mean, I can go down a list. They're also less tested than a lot of the synthetics, which doesn't mean that I'm not a proponent of organic food. I think organic food's great. But if you're going to go organic food, I strongly recommend that you buy locally produced organic food. First of all, locally produced organic food is going to taste better because it's going to ripen on the vine or on the tree. And second of all, if it's locally produced, then that means you can go to the producer and you can ask them what they actually put onto their plants. And if it's something that you don't like, then you don't have to eat their food. So I'm a proponent of locally produced organic food. What this person told you is absolutely right, that there are a number of pesticides that can be used in organics that can be pretty bad.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thanks very much for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions as we talk with Jeff Gilman of Maplewood, Minnesota, author of The Truth About Organic Gardening, Benefits, Drawbacks, and the Bottom Line. Certainly, if you have question production-type questions about your garden or your flowers, your trees, or whatever, we certainly welcome those calls, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments, and we'll be glad to get you on the air. Let's talk about natural fertilizers for just a minute, Jeff. What are the benefits, before we go back to the phones here, the benefits and maybe drawbacks of natural fertilizers that are home gardeners might use?
Well, I love natural fertilizers in general. However, we need to be a little bit specific because there are a lot of renewable organic fertilizers out there like fish emulsions, alfalfa meal, corn gluten meal that work really well for your gardens. But there are also some organic fertilizers which you can add which are what I'll call non-sustainable. They're kind of like oil. You know, when we run out of oil on this earth, well, then the oil is gone. These would include things like rock phosphate, which is actually where a lot of our phosphorus fertilizers come from. When we use up all the rock phosphate, we'll be done. So I'm a big believer in organic fertilizers because they've got this slow release, they're renewable, but you've got to be careful about which ones you use and go for the renewable ones rather than ones that we're going to run out of.
Makes good sense. Aaron in Manitowoc, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Aaron.
Hi. Yeah, I'm a little different than Sharon. I was just wondering about the produce and that I buy from the store. I just heard you talk to the other caller about that. I buy a lot of stuff from the stores that say that they're organic and that, and a lot of the like peanut butters and jellies and all that kind of stuff. And I guess how would you look into seeing if that stuff was actually made organic or not, or you know?
Well, if it says organic, there are certain rules that have to be followed in conjunction with USDA guidelines, United States Department of Agriculture guidelines. That means that certain synthetic products can't be used. However, those certainly could include the organic pesticides that I listed. You will never know whether those organic pesticides were used unless you go to the company or the canning factory where they might tell you. Another problem that I have with organics, and once again, I'm generally pro-organic, but there are things that people don't understand about organics. As I said, one of them is that when organic pesticides, you don't have to test for the residue of organic pesticides. In other words, the peanut butter that you buy that's organically produced, that was never tested for organic pesticide residue. It very well could have, say, rotenone residue on it. You'd never know it because there's no mandatory testing for it. On the other hand, for synthetic pesticides, there is mandatory testing, so the pesticides never cross a certain threshold, a certain level.
Interesting.
So how does that go with like milk and like orange juice and stuff of that nature?
I can't talk to animal products because I just don't deal with them that much. I deal with fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
Organically produced orange juice, same deal. That organically produced orange juice could very well have higher levels of copper, but you wouldn't know it because there's no mandatory testing for that pesticide.
Interesting. Thanks, Aaron. Mary in Marinette. Your turn. Hi, Mary.
I have kind of a, I'm just starting my garden. I was the first time gardener last year and didn't use any type of pesticides. But I did use Miracle-Gro, and I was just wondering how bad is that? And I only used it in the beginning to help the plants get started and everything.
Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear that you're starting to garden. It's a great thing that too many people in our culture are giving up. So keep gardening. There's nothing wrong with using Miracle-Gro. It is a synthetic, but using it early in the season is going to do a lot to get your plants up and growing, and I think you did exactly the right thing. So I'm all for what you did. Now, could you have done it organically? Yeah, you could have gone and purchased, say, for example, fish emulsion or alfalfa meal, and that would have worked as well as the Miracle-Gro. But the Miracle-Gro will work faster and is a more accurate way to apply things. It's it's got a better analysis. So anyway, good move. There's nothing wrong with what you did. And if you want to try going organic with some of or alfalfa meal, that'd be great.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. How about a comment from or question from Steve in Shell Lake? Hi, Steve.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have a small hobby apple orchard of about 25 apple trees, four or five different varieties, and the only herbicide I use is under my electric fence to protect it from the deer. I use some Roundup, and I'm considering using some Roundup under the trees for grass control. Does that qualify as organic, or what would the alternatives be?
Okay, well, here's the deal. First of all, that it's not organic. However, Roundup is about as safe as it comes in terms of herbicides. In fact, Roundup is safer than some of your organic herbicides. If you're only producing the apples for yourself, I would say keep on using the Roundup. It's going to work well. However, if you ever want to get those trees labeled as organic, and if you ever want to sell those apples as organic, then you have to stop using the Roundup.
What would the alternative be?
What's the alternative?
Okay, the alternative to using something like Roundup is to use something that is less effective. And you need to get that out of the way right away. It's going to be less effective. However, you can use a propane torch. You can buy one at Fleet Farm. And basically, it's a hose that hooks up to a propane tank. You light the end of the torch, and you walk through your orchard flaming things. Flames tend to be the best method, as long as it's not a dry day and you'll set your whole field on fire, which is a problem. You can also use acids like vinegar. Spraying out vinegar does a very good job as an herbicide. And people are starting to use clove oil a little bit, and clove oil works pretty well too. But from the research that I've seen and from my experience, I think that flames tend to be the best, but you do have to be very careful with them.
And now, Steve, you want to use this sort of along your fence line so the weeds don't get up and short out the fence. Is that correct?
Well, that's one place. And the other place is under the trees, because controlling the grass helps you to be more effective in fertilizing it. And you need to control the grass and the tree line also.
What about mulch then, Jeff?
Hey, mulch would be a great option if you can. Around the trees, if you can apply a layer of mulch and then, and I'm talking about carbon-containing mulch and organic mulch such as hardwood chips or pine chips. Pine chips would probably be best because they'd rot a little bit slower. So pine chips would be great, and then you could replace the pine chips every year or two as needed.
Well, thank you very much. It's been very helpful.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Talking gardening today with Jeff Gilman, dealing a little bit with organic and not organic forms of it. And call in with your questions. Frank in Cedarburg is next. Frank, hi to you.
Jeff.
Yes.
What is the lethal dose on permethrin? I've been trying to find out from factories that manufacture it, and they don't tell me.
Now, what do you mean by the lethal dose?
Lethal dose, living death. You know, when they're dealing with poisoning mice to find out what the body weight is.
Sure. I'm right now pulling a book off my shelf, which I'm not sure has that information, but it might. Keep this kind of data around. Permethrin is a synthetic pyrethroid, which is made out of it's a synthetically produced natural substance. You had to ask that one. The lethal dose of permethrin orally is greater than 4,000 milligrams per kilogram, which is in terms of toxicity, it's quite low. Dermally, that's if you get it on your skin, the lethal dose of permethrin is greater than 2,000 milligrams per kilogram. So basically, permethrin is going to be one of your lower toxicity insecticides.
When you're dealing with those kind of amounts, can you put that in the form of a teaspoon or a partial teaspoon or?
Yeah, I could. And I'm talking off the top of my head here, so. But that
roughly.
would be for an adult person, a couple of tablespoons.
Okay.
So pretty high.
I'll let Melinda Myers know about it. By any chance, do you know Bob Purvis from Cottage Grove, Minnesota?
Do I know about what was that?
Bob Purvis.
Bob Purvis from...
Yes, he belongs to NAFIX.
The name sounds familiar, but I'm sorry, I don't know offhand.
Oh, can't help on that one, Frank.
Okay, thanks for the information.
Yeah, yes. Thanks a lot for calling. Peter in St. Paul, Minnesota has a question for you. Peter, hi.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Hi.
I've got a lake place in Cumberland, Wisconsin, and I was planning to use soybean meal as my grass fertilizer, and I'll take it off the line.
All right, thanks for calling. How about soybean meal?
Wonderful.
As a fertilizer for a lawn? Wonderful, you say?
Wonderful. Now, it probably won't have quite the same effect that your corn gluten meal will. It probably will not prevent a lot of the weeds, whereas corn gluten meal actually does prevent weeds. But your soybean meal is going to be high in nitrogen. It's going to be a good fertilizer, so I recommend it, yeah.
All right, great. Thanks a lot for calling, Peter. And let's see, Randy, I think, is next in Auburndale. Randy, hi to you.
Hi, Jeff. Hey, I have a question in regards to my vegetable garden.
Sure.
I've had it in the same spot for about 5 years now. I've never used any commercial weed killer. I always pull my weeds by hand. I do not use any commercial fertilizer.
Good.
And I make my own compost, and we use horse manure as a fertilizer. And the only thing that's ever been on this garden is at times we have to use some 7-Dust or something to control some potato bugs when they get a little bit too much to be picking off by hand.
Sure.
And wondering if this would still be considered organic.
As a gardener?
Yes.
You should consider it organic because you're doing everything that you can. Technically, though, it can't be considered organic because the 7 is a synthetic pesticide.
Okay.
I mean, 7 is synthetic. But you're doing, in my mind, you're doing everything right. You probably could avoid the 7 if you could find, there's a pesticide called Bacillus thuringiensis San Diego. That's the active ingredient, also known as Bacillus thuringiensis tenebrionis. You don't find it around very much anymore. In fact, I think it went off the market for a while. But if you can find that, that'll be just as effective against those beetles as the 7. It'll work a little bit more slowly, but it'll be just as effective, and then you could call it organic.
Well, now, the last couple of years now, the bugs have gotten less, so we haven't had to use it as much. But my question then is, I've heard people that use something like a hot pepper spray.
Yes.
Is that something that would work then that would be considered still being organic?
Hot pepper spray is absolutely organic. However, do realize that it will not be as effective as that 7. But that said, I'd encourage you to use that. It'll work okay for you, but
okay,
it won't work great.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, talking gardening with Jeff Gilman, who is the author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. He has his Ph.D. in horticulture and a master's degree in entomology at the University of Georgia. So really happy to have him back with us today. And I'll just mention in passing, if you want a copy of his book, for a $120 contribution today at 800-383-9772, send us $120. We'll send you his book and the member benefit card. So with that said, let's go to Wendy and Phillips. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I had a garden before, and now I'm starting a new one. Actually, I use old horse manure, and I plow it into the dirt. Mm-hmm. And my friend, my neighbor, he takes it, he adds water to it in a barrel, and he, you know, takes a bucket, dips it in there, and pours it in the dirt also, and it just works wonderful. The tomatoes, everything. Mm-hmm. It's just great, and I love organic stuff, you know. And I have a question. Why is the organic stuff in the store so expensive if they're not using pesticides, but yet you were talking earlier they still might? So maybe that's why they're expensive?
They're expensive because you get a lower yield. In other words, an apple tree might produce not half as much, but certainly not what a synthetic tree would normally use or be able to produce. So that's one reason. The second reason is that the pesticides that they use do tend to be more expensive. And I'll also make a comment. You're talking about a manure tea.
Yeah. Now,
manure
exactly.
tea.
That's what I was trying to say.
Right. A manure tea has some pluses and minuses, which I'll mention just briefly. If you're using a manure tea and applying it to the ground, there's plenty of nutrients in that manure which are going to go right into the water, into the ground. If you are using fresh manure, that's one of the most dangerous things that you can do.
Yes.
So I just want to be clear that if you're using aged manure and you're not leaving it in the tub very long, that's fine. But if you're using fresh manure, mixing it up in water and applying it, that's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, all the acid or something? Yeah.
No, the disease. E. coli and salmonella.
Oh, okay. No, I use dried stuff. That's almost...
That's fine. That's great. Yeah, that's really good.
It works wonderful. And I just wanted to comment on that, and I think you're a wonderful guy.
Thanks, Wendy.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks, Wendy, for calling. Appreciate it. Jerry in Argyle, you are next. Hi, Jerry.
Hello, Larry, and hello, Jeff.
Hi.
There are just a couple of things that I was wondering if he addresses in his book. One of the things that I've read it in a magazine and an old organic Rodale Press organic gardening book about people taking insects and crushing them up and kind of doing some kind of a culture. They say that the whatever bugs or bacterial diseases that kill the insects grow in that, and then they spray it on and it kills the insects. But to me, that sounds off. Doesn't sound like they know what they're playing with.
You want me to talk about that one first, and then we can come to your other question?
Sure.
I don't address that in my book. That's a very old school remedy, but it sometimes works. Here's the deal. If you capture bugs or insects that are dying or dead from a particular disease, and if you grind that up during that time, that disease will actually spread in your mixture, and when you spray it out, you will give other insects this disease. What we find, though, is that this is very hit and miss, and it's hit and miss because the insects that you're grinding up may or may not have a disease. The disease may or may not increase after the bug has been ground up. So it's an old-school remedy that sometimes it really does work and sometimes it's kind of so-so.
The one thing that I thought seemed like could be of a concern is, insects being a small type of animal, that there could be harmful bacteria to humans that would grow in a culture, something like that.
You know, I can
like
see...
Like the E. coli or...
Yeah, I can see the potential for that. But I've never heard of the experiments actually being run to see how much of the E. coli we can find in it. Whereas with the manure teas, we've done plenty of experiments, and we know that those manure teas can handle or can hold E. coli and salmonella. So I think that's a really good concern, and I simply don't know the answer.
Oh.
Okay. And the other thing was plow panning was addressed in something that I read recently. And I do use a tiller, but I'm attempting to add organic matter each year, so my tilling depth should be rising as I add material. So I'm thinking, because the article that I was reading was kind of against using a rototiller. Without that, I'd be doomed, I think.
Well, let me talk about that really briefly. You're talking about tilling organic matter in every year, and tilling has some advantages, but... Actually, in general, I don't like tilling for a garden. There's a book out called Weedless Gardening, and it's by Lee Reich, R-E-I-C-H. I don't know if you've ever had him on, Larry.
No, I haven't. Wait a minute. I think we did have him. Yes, we did. Lee Reich, yeah.
He's a great guy, and he talks about gardening without using a tiller. And you know, I'm the first to say sometimes you have to use a tiller. But let me tell you, doing this without a tiller is a great idea because you don't get hard pan, which I think is what you're talking about. And you grow a plant in ground that hasn't been tilled, so you end up not messing up your soil ecosystem. So I like going no-till if you can, but it is a change, and it is tough to start doing that. But once you start, it's a really nice method.
And I've mentioned this on the program in the past, but one of the great little movies I've seen, I think, in relation to gardening in that fashion was titled Ruth Stout's Garden.
Ah, yeah.
And you probably know who Ruth Stout was.
Yeah.
Was very much in favor of doing as little as possible in terms of digging. And she produced some great gardens. Wonderful gardens.
Yeah.
And there's some books out.
Wrote Lasagna Gardening?
I believe so. I think so.
Yeah, Lasagna Gardening is another thing that we call no-till gardening.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jerry, for calling. Appreciate it. And Katie in Green Bay is next. Katie, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I have a question about a product that I've been using for the last couple of years, and unfortunately I can't remember the name of it, but basically it smells like rotten eggs, and you spray it around the perimeter of the garden, and once it dries, we can't smell anymore, but the animals, rabbits, I think, can still smell it. Mm-hmm. My question is, are you familiar with this kind of product, and is it organic? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Yes, I am familiar with that kind of product. I think that you may be talking about Deer Away Big Game Repellent or something similar to that. And what's in it is
rotten eggs.
Oh, right. They call it, on the package, they'll call it putrescent egg solids, which is a nice way of saying rotten eggs. And for repelling deer, rabbits, etc., it's usually okay. There's nothing perfect for repelling deer, rabbits. There's just nothing perfect. But that's about as good as it gets, and do realize that eventually the animals will probably get used to it.
Yeah, especially after a rain and that, you can wash it off.
Yeah, yeah.
The only perfect solution I know is a very well-constructed fence.
Yes.
That's about the...
I agree with that, and typically that fence has to be quite high to take care of the deer and into the ground to take care of the rabbits.
Absolutely. Graham in Madison, your turn. Hi, Graham.
Hi, Larry and Jeff. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I've got a question about the Japanese beetles.
Sure.
I have some butterfly bushes that they seem to like, and some quite a few raspberry bushes. And I've been I go out with a bucket of soapy water, and they seem to have this defense mechanism where if you kind of tap them, they sort of roll right in there.
Yeah.
And they're just getting worse and worse and worse, and I'm kind of adverse to the that's why I love the show, to spraying anything in there. And is there any kind of natural predator or anything I can introduce to kind of call it the population of these things?
I'll start answering this, and then Larry, I'd love to get your take. First of all, one of the ones that the Garden Central will push is the Japanese beetle trap. Don't fall for it. The Japanese beetle trap has been shown in project after project to bring in more beetles than it catches. So while it's very satisfying taking that bag full of beetles off the trap, you end up bringing in more than you catch. In terms of sprays for the beetle, there are a few sprays for the beetle, and I understand you're averse to using them, but I'll just mention them quickly. Permethrin, which somebody else earlier called asking about the LD50, permethrin and 7 both work fine against the Japanese beetle. There is something called milky spore disease, which kills the beetle, but for a homeowner, the thing is, a homeowner as opposed to a large area, a municipality, it's really not going to be that effective. You're going to take out not enough beetles in your home, and besides, these beetles can fly miles and miles to come to your raspberries. So what I'm saying is, without spraying, there aren't a whole lot of effective things you can do. You can try a pepper spray, and that can help a little bit. You can try a garlic spray, and that can help a little bit.
Is the permethrin considered organic then?
Is what?
Is the spray that you mentioned, is it permethrin? Is that permethrin?
It's not organic. It's not. The chemistry is based on a natural thing, but it is not an organic spray. No, it is not. And Larry, do you have any magic cures?
I have no magic cures, and the problem is, if you live near like a golf course or some open areas like that that are lawn areas, you can kill what you've got on your lawn, but they come right back in. Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist, we have on very often, lives near a golf course, and he's kind of given up on anything except picking them off by hand because if you're going to do it organic, because they're just. They just come in and they come in and they come in. Now there are things that you can do. You can put, you can try row covers and things like that.
The Remay floating row covers can work pretty well. Of course, then you can't look at your plants, but Remay can work pretty well for you. And also I mentioned permethrin and 7 in particular, because they have a residual which will kill the beetles for at least a few days. Most of your organic sprays are only going to kill those beetles for one day, and it ends up seeming as if you didn't do anything because within a day, more beetles are going to come in.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Graham. Jeff Gilman, our guest today, from an associate professor in the Department of Horticultural Sciences at the University of Minnesota and the author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller with my guest Jeff Gilman, author of The Truth About Organic Gardening. You know, I love Garden Talk programs because we have a chance to bring in people like Jeff every Friday to give you great information about growing your lawn better, about taking care of your trees and shrubs, about growing your garden better. And, you know, Jim Packer joining us now. And I think a lot of gardeners tell me this is a great service. And if you want to support this service, or when you support this service, think about Garden Talk when you make your contribution. And, of course, we're in Garden Talk right now. Call us at 1-800-383-9772. Give us a call. And Jim Packard, when someone calls in with a $120 contribution, what do they get?
Well, they're going to get a copy of The Truth About Organic Gardening to start with, the benefits, drawbacks, and the bottom line from Jeff Gilman. Jeff has proven in the last 30 minutes or so that he's a very knowledgeable person who conducts his own research and is able to write his own book. And so that's the kind of person that we're looking for that qualifies as an expert in this situation. He's also the author of The Truth About Garden Remedies, and it was there that we learned that here's a guy that we should be talking to on a regular basis, and we're happy to get the book, and we'll send that along to you when you call right now at 800-383-9772 or go to WPR.org. You could take a moment and make your pledge right there in the privacy of your own computer setup. Mm-hmm. We'll also send you the member benefit card at the $120 level. That's the benefit dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin. We've got admission benefits. We've got online shopping benefits and bed and breakfast benefits as well. So both of those come to you when you call us right now. Consider a pledge, $10 a month. That's as easy as we can make it for you. We can use your electronic funds transfer, payroll deduction if you're a university or state employee. There are so many ways to do this. All it takes is your phone call of support to Garden Talk and to Larry Mueller.
At 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. Pretty easy to do. You decide how much you want to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. Easy to do. It only takes a couple of minutes, and you'll be really helping us out. We've raised $2,620 so far, Jim, on our goal for the 90 minutes of $12,000. We were kind of shooting for $7,000 or $8,000 by noon today.
So if we get another $4,380 before noon, we're right on track.
We're right on track. And, you know, once again, I'm hearing some music in the background. Do you hear it?
I do.
You know what that signals?
Bon temps le relais.
That signals, that reminds me that we have the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou coming on June 28th. And I tell you what, if you want to join in, $1,200 contribution for a cup. We'll give you a pair of tickets to attend our Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou. Really at my home, Renee's home, and Emily's home on Lake Monona in Madison. It'll be Saturday, June 28th. Cheryl Gasser, Sandy, and Jean Joy Cardine will be with us. Also, I'll have some guests. Sandy Sawchuk, one of our regulars. Scott Craven, one of our regulars. Both will be there. Scott will probably do some boat rides. But Tim Hall, who is an expert Cajun cook, will be preparing a Louisiana-style feast to remember. We only have 14 pairs of tickets. As a matter of fact, we don't have 14 anymore.
No, not anymore.
We've had a few people call in already, but once those 14 pairs are gone, they're gone. So when you call in with a $1,200 contribution, you'll be getting the book.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be getting the member benefit card. You will be invited to the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou on Saturday afternoon, June 28th. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Tim Hall is going to do the cooking outside. I don't know yet. I think this afternoon he's going to announce what his menu is going to be. But it'll be a Louisiana-style feast that you will never forget. I'm pretty sure of that. In addition, he'll be leaving everybody who comes with his cookbook and his special spice blend that apparently is just outstanding. And you get another year of Garden Talk. What
exactly.
about that? With a $1,200 contribution or $600 for an individual, call in at 1-800-383-9772. It's 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org. A few $1,200 contributions would help us get to that goal pretty quickly, Jim.
Larry, you mentioned it earlier that Garden Talk has become one of the most popular programs on Wisconsin Public Radio because a variety of guests with a different information come to you every Friday to answer your questions and give you suggestions on how to improve your gardening practices. And as you listen to the station and you know that we're listener-supported, then why not take this opportunity to make your pledge of support for Wisconsin Public Radio, for Garden Talk, and for the year ahead. Let me suggest $10 a month, a $120 pledge, which will get you the truth about organic gardening, benefits, drawbacks, and the bottom line. It's a brand new book from Jeff Gilman. He talked about it last year when he was on in praise of the truth about garden remedies, and we've been waiting for this book, and it certainly is living up to all of its expectations. And we'll send you the member benefit card, where if you're like Larry Mueller, you can go out to lunch, you know, every other month or so, and recoup the cost of your membership in Wisconsin Public Radio in just a couple of months. So it's an excellent benefit, one we're happy to share with you, and we want you to join the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
And you know, you could work this out, Jim, on a weekend. You go to, because there's two nights for the price of one, at 52 Bed and Breakfast. There you've got the bed and breakfast. Then you look in the area and you see the restaurants in the area that are 2-for-1 entrees.
Mm-hmm.
You can take your wife or your, you know, whatever along. Your significant other. You can look like the big spender, and all the while you're only just paying for yourself.
Hey,
I like that idea.
I like the way you think, Larry.
I'm always thinking.
We're hoping that people like the way you think as well, and that they'll want their member benefit card. And to get it, all you have to do is call us at 800-383-9772, or you can go to WPR.org. But we have lots of people who are listeners, and they are members of the association, and then they volunteer their time because they like to share in the excitement of a pledge drive. So take this opportunity to put your name on the list and join us as members of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association with your pledge, $10 a month or whatever amount is comfortable for you.
And you can, of course, go online and pledge silently at WPR.org. You can print a receipt right online, so you've got it for tax purposes. And you can get the Truth About Gardening, Organic Gardening cookbook. And also you can get in line here and get your ticket for the Cajun Cookout as well. You can do that online if you want to do it online. That's no problem. And I see we've gone through we've gone through three or four, a couple pairs of tickets. So got a couple pairs gone, and I hear the phones ringing, and so I think there may be some more in line. Jump on the bandwagon. Now, that could be $100 a month. That would be a way to do it if you wanted to do $1,200.
That's true.
Or if you were just, say, I'm going by myself because I want to just see who else is there and mingle with the crowd and maybe talk to Sandy Sawchuk. She's single, you know. It'd be $50 a month. You could do it that way, or just write a check, and there you go.
Conversely, if you're coming to see Scott and you're wondering about his status, he is married.
He is married, and his wife will be there.
And his wife will be there as well.
But Scott,
he's a great raconteur, and he has stories to share.
Oh,
and,
man.
So he'll bedazzle you with all of his stories.
And as will Sandy. Sandy, of course, she can't talk about specific clients, but she's got lots of great stories that she can tell in general about her time as a veterinarian, and you may have a little veterinary question for her that you might want to ask. That's all right, too. That'd be a good opener if you're a single guy and, you know, sort of want to talk to her a little bit. I suppose you could do that.
I would think so.
No matter what, here we are. We've raised $3,245. We have $8,755 to go to reach our goal. But you know what? We could make that $7,000 to $8,000 goal by noon was kind of what we were shooting for.
Right.
Pretty easily with, how many more? Let's see. We need several more $120 contributions. Why don't we start with you? You listen to this station. You listen to Garden Talk. The station is listener-supported. We ask you to help pay us for the service that you get a chance to use. When you call in with your contribution, that's what you're doing. You're helping us pay for the service that you get to use week in and week out here at Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not only Garden Talk, but I tell you, Garden Talk is a very popular program with many people. Maybe it is for you. Maybe, I tell you, a guy like Jeff Gilman, he, by the way, he writes kind of like he speaks, and it's he writes in a very straightforward, conversational manner. His books are easy to understand. They're written straightforwardly and honestly, and I know you're going to enjoy the truth about organic gardening. So for that $10 a month pledge or $120, put it on your credit card, too, if you want to. Call us at 1-800-383-9772. Help us get to that goal we're trying to make here of about, well, I'd like to make $7,000 by noon. And a few of those $1,200 contributions would really help out. You get to go to Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou. We're right on the lake. By the way, Scott Craven, I believe, will be doing some boat rides for those who want to go out.
Is he bringing his captain's hat along?
He'll probably have his captain's hat along, and he's my boat. I've got a pretty nice boat. It's pretty new, and he knows how. He's got one just like it, so he won't foul it up. You won't be caught in the middle of the lake with no place to go. I'll put a paddle in, so you won't be without a paddle.
Unless he runs aground or something like that.
I'll make sure he has a cell phone. I can always canoe out to him in my canoe, and we'll get him and drag you back in. That's what we'll do. But anyway, here's the contribution: $1,200, invitation to the cookout, the member benefit card, the new book, "The Truth About Organic Gardening," written by Jeff Gilman. Or maybe whatever amount. If you can afford a $120 contribution, give us call in with your contribution. We'll send you the book and the member benefit card. Or maybe you can afford $5,000. And if you can do that, you'd really help us out with when you call in with the $5,000 or $10,000 contribution. We'll take those, too. We're not too proud to do that.
No, we'll take that. And if you'd like to, we'll make that goal in a hurry. And that's what we would like to do, is make the goal in a hurry, because the drive is predicated on the fact of hitting little targets along the way. We want to make sure that we hit our target today, $12,000 for the show. You can make your effort felt and heard with your phone call at 800-383-9772 with your pledge of, say, $100, $10 a month, which will get you the member benefit card and also the truth about organic gardening, or perhaps an amount of $5 a month is more comfortable for you, your first-time pledger maybe. $60 pledge would do that. Give us a call right now or go to WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772, the number to call. Jeff's got many more questions to answer, and we'll be back with Jeff in just a few minutes. Happy to have you with us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest today, Jeff Gilman. Jeff has his PhD in horticulture and a master's degree in entomology at the University of Georgia, and has written the book, The Truth About Organic Gardening, Benefits, Drawbacks, and the Bottom Line. Pleased to have him with us today. And Jeff will take some calls right away. We've got lots of people waiting online here. So Debbie in Eau Claire, I believe, is next. Debbie, hi, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon. I'm a strong believer in organics, I'm curious, and knowing how long it takes for a farm to become certified, I'm curious and a little skeptical as to how seemingly overnight huge distributors like Walmart were able to have all these huge amounts of organic produce for sale. And I'll take my message off the air.
Okay. How is it that some of the large companies like Walmart can have so many organics for sale on seemingly fairly short notice?
Well, that's a good question. Most likely, those organics come from areas of the country where they've been doing this for years, mostly in the West. There are farms in the East that have been attempting to do this for a while, too. It does usually take, depending on the field, 2 or 3 or 4 years to become registered organic or certified organic. And some have been gearing up for years since 2002 when the USDA came out with its list of, you know, this is how you do it. Of course, some farms did it before then. And, of course, in terms of, you know, the organic market, they're going to put the organic foods. You know, some Walmarts I know of don't have all that organic food. It's certain stores where they know they can sell them. At least that's the way it seems to me. And I will say that I'm guessing here. I don't have a lot of insight into Walmart.
Okay. Thank you, Deb. Appreciate the call. And on to Phil, I believe, in Hebron. Hi, Phil.
That's correct. Good morning, gentlemen. Excellent program.
Thank you.
Thanks. I got a quick question for you, sir, a 10-cent question, and I want to make a comment and then let you respond to the two. My question is, I'm involved in an ornamental horticultural operation. For a long time, we promoted mycorrhizae in our production. I've done it in my own garden. I wanted to see what your relevance to that is to organic gardening and how synthetic fertilizers and pesticides might affect that. And my comment is, when I was trained as an ornamental horticulturalist, I spent a lot of time in undergrad classes, and professors often quoted Rachel Carson, who talked about Silent Spring, and I was never required to read it, although I walked down to the undergraduate library and picked up a copy and read it because I thought this is pretty relevant to what I'm doing here. And I wonder if on the academic level they promote that now, and if you don't think anybody who buys a bottle of pesticide ought to have to read that book.
That's very interesting. Okay. I'll talk about Silent Spring first, and then I'll talk about mycorrhizae. I have a course that I teach on pesticides, and my students are not required to read the entire book. They are required to read three chapters of the book. I'll also say that although Rachel Carson is one of my heroes, heroines, I should say, there were some facts that she got wrong in the book, and while I applaud her for what she did, everything she wrote isn't exactly gospel. In fact, there was a response written to her book, which is called Saving the Planet with Pesticides and Plastics. Now, that book goes over the line on the other side.
The other way.
The other way. But it's good to read both books to get a balanced view. I will say that the author of Saving the Planet with Pesticides and Plastics is not one of my heroes, but it's still a very interesting read, and very interesting read in combination with Silent Spring. Hey, I want to strongly encourage you to read Silent Spring. Now on to the mycorrhizae. Okay, mycorrhizae are good. However,
what are they, by the way?
Okay, mycorrhizae are fungi that work with the plant that you have planted in your garden to help it take up phosphorus and other nutrients to help it grow better. In soils where you don't have quite enough nutrition, mycorrhizae are wonderful. They occur there naturally. In most soils, mycorrhizae occur naturally, and you do not need to add them at all. For most people selling mycorrhizae, or for most people interested in buying mycorrhizae off the shelves, for the most part, you simply don't need to buy them because they're already in your soil. In terms of adding fertilizers and what these do to mycorrhizae, the more fertilizer you add, the less mycorrhizae you'll have because the plant doesn't need the mycorrhizae in order to grow. In terms of what kind of growth you get with higher fertility versus higher mycorrhizae, honestly, and this is, the more you push fertilizer, the more your plant is going to grow, even though you're killing the mycorrhizae. And that's just kind of the way it is in most of the research projects that you see.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Phil. Bill and McAllister, your turn next. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are we doing?
Good.
Good.
I got kind of two questions here. One is, me and my dad, we've been doing gardens for years, but for about the past 5 years, we've been having a lot of radish problems. We've been having a lot of bugs. We can't even eat our radishes because we've got so many bugs. So last year, my dad went and built a box and put all fresh soil in it, nothing from the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And same problem, whole bunch of bugs. We can't even eat our radishes, from the smallest radish to the biggest radish. We have no idea what bug it is. We've tried just about everything.
Did it eat it? What happens to the radishes? Are they eaten off, or are they?
It's kind of like a almost like a radish blight, kind of.
All right.
Are you sure it's a bug, or could it
be? We don't know. We don't find a bug.
It's probably a disease.
We've tried. We figured, you know, trying a different soil, not even from, you know, our garden area. You know, just trying a different soil. We thought, okay, maybe this will take care of it, but it didn't. We had the same problem.
Hmm.
And my second question is, what is the difference between synthetic organic fertilizers and organic fertilizers? And I'll take my answers off the air if you
all right.
Please.
Sure. For the radish, I don't know. That's not enough information. Larry, do you know if Madison has a disease clinic where they'll take your fruits and vegetables for a price and assess what the problem is?
Yes, we do. We have the Plant Disease Clinic at the University of Wisconsin. And you can send it directly to the Plant Disease Clinic or through a county extension office. Typically, they need to have a plant that's not completely gone, that might be partially good and yet, or healthy looking, and then part not. And they can do a pretty good job of figuring out what's going on. I suspect a disease here.
I suspect a disease, too, but I don't want to suggest which one.
No.
I think that needs to be sent in and assessed. I especially don't want to mention anything because maybe I'll mention a pesticide, which really isn't needed. And applying pesticides without knowing what the problem is one of the worst things that you can do.
Yeah.
So send that thing in. And then you wanted to ask the difference between synthetic organic and...
organic.
And organic. And a synthetic organic, in that situation, we're talking about the chemistry of the fertilizer. A synthetic organic is going to have carbon in its makeup. Something like urea would be a synthetic organic because it would have carbon in the makeup of the fertilizer. In organic fertilizer, that's used for, usually they're not using it in the chemistry sense. They just mean natural. Bone meal is an organic. I mentioned alfalfa meal before. That's an organic. Blood meal is an organic.
Mm-hmm.
So usually you're talking about just naturally occurring. Synthetic organic means containing carbon.
Good answer. Jill in Manitowish Waters, your turn. Hi, Jill.
Hi. I wanted to ask, I've been making a lawn for some people who live on a lake, and I want to know the names of some fertilizer I can recommend to them, low or no phosphorus, and wondered if you knew.
Okay. Here's the situation. Most of your organic fertilizers do contain, and by organic I mean naturally occurring, do contain a lot of phosphorus. One that doesn't is corn gluten meal. Okay. Corn gluten meal is a 10-0-0. It helps to control weeds, and it's going to fertilize that grass pretty well. So that might be the direction that you want to go.
Okay.
The other thing you should tell them is to mow high.
Right.
And, keep that and mow frequently, mow high.
Is there a commercial source for this corn gluten meal? I mean, how do you buy that? Or
you should be able to find it at just about any garden center right now, although it'll go under different names.
Okay.
I think that preen can actually be purchased. I think they have a natural preen or an organic preen, which is actually corn gluten meal. Corn gluten meal is a byproduct of the corn industry. And you can find it in lots and lots of places.
Yeah, you shouldn't have any trouble finding corn gluten meal. Thanks, Jill. Elizabeth in Washburn, your turn. Hi, Elizabeth.
I think maybe he might have just answered my question.
Oh.
But this is, I'm 86. I've been gardening 120 years, I think. Anyhow, I have fertile soil, but it needs nitrogen, according to the soil test. I also have a 6-foot, very well-built fence around it, and it's the only way to keep that I've been able to keep anything out.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, the fence, you're right on. That's what you've got to use. And for the fertilizer, I think I probably did just answer that question. Corn gluten meal is probably your best bet.
Yeah, that's probably going to do you the best job. Elizabeth, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Jeff Gilman, our guest today, author of The Truth About Organic Gardening, and really pleased to have him with us today because he gives great answers and great information to me. I learn a lot, and I hope you do as well. And certainly if you feel like you've learned some things here on the Ideas Network, we hope you'll call in with a contribution right now at 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772. Give us a call right now with your contribution. And as a matter of fact, Phil Corvo, our station director, and Jim Packard. Boy, I'm getting double teamed here.
Phil's our roving reporter, and he's going to bring us up to date as to where the drive is.
I'm just going to give a brief update and then turn it back to you, gentlemen. But I did want to report that so far during this pledge drive, which started yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning, we have had 675 people call to become members, 675 calls. And our goal that we hope to reach a week from Saturday is 5,500 members. So we have about 4,800 left to go. And that's certainly doable. People are really responding to this pledge drive, and we appreciate that. But, you know, every member counts. It doesn't matter how much you pledge. It matters that you do pledge and that you do make the phone call at 1-800-383-9772 and pledge your membership, because you will help us toward that goal of 5,500 members by the end of Saturday, next week Saturday. So thanks for everyone who's pledged, and if you haven't done it yet, we're waiting for you.
Well, I've got some good news for you, too. We have 32 people who called in with contributions so far. Almost half, 15 of them are new contributors who have not contributed in the past. So almost half our contributors during this program have been new. And if you're new, if you haven't contributed yet, why not contribute now? When you do, you're going to be supporting Garden Talk. And, Jim, we've got some great gifts to go along with that contribution.
You know, in line with what Phil said, the fact that you're joining is the biggest thing as compared to how much you're joining at what level. Because if you're a first-time pledger, maybe we suggest a $5 a month pledge. $60 gets you in the door. But if you can afford $10 a month, we'd be happy to send you The Truth About Organic Gardening. It's certainly one of the better books that we have seen come along. It gives you the benefits, it gives you the drawbacks, and the bottom line about organic gardening and about synthetics. So it gives you both dynamics here and allows you to make up your mind about what you'd like to do. And so that, plus the member benefit card, which will give you a number of benefits, two for one dining all around the state, performances and attraction benefits, online shopping benefits, and bed and breakfast benefits. And as Larry has pointed out, he can give you a route that can give you your the entire amount of your pledge recouped to you. You've got a year's time to do it.
And you can do it in a single weekend.
Call us right now at 800-383-9772 and join the number of people who are either picking up The Truth About Organic Gardening and the member benefit card, or maybe you're going for the big time. You're going for the Wisconsin Public Radio party at the Larry's Bayou. The cypress will be dripping there, I'm sure, in late June. It'll be a great time, and that takes a $1,200 pledge for two people to attend the party. People have been picking this up. We're not sure exactly how many tickets are left.
I do know.
You do know.
We started with 28 total tickets, and 14 pairs. Mm-hmm. We're now at 11 pairs and 22, so we've been moving right along here.
So 11 to go or 11 sold?
11, we have 22 to go, so 11 pairs.
Pairs to go,
or we can go with a single as well. I will mention that we spent quite a bit of money this past year on remodeling our house.
Yes,
wasn't quite done for last year's event, but everything's pretty well done now. We've even installed some outdoor speakers, and we can pipe the music outside. That Cajun music will be coming to you. There it is again. For that $1,200 contribution, or $600 if you want to go on your own, why, that's fine too. But that'll really help us reach our goal. We're at $6,360. We have $5,000 to go to reach our goal in about 8 minutes to do it. So, less than $1,000 a minute, Jim. We can do that.
We can do that. And it happens when you make your phone call at 800-383-9772. All you have to decide is how much you're going to pledge. We'll take care of the rest in a short phone call, who you are, where you are, what you'd like to pledge, and then you're pretty much on your way. Or you can do it in the privacy of your home computer setup at WPR.org. You know, you pledge because you listen to the program. You listen to the variety of gardening topics every Friday. You get some benefit out of it, and you know that we're listener-supported. Listeners make up the largest share of our operating budget at Wisconsin Public Radio, about 30%. And so your phone call is so important. And that's why we'd love to hear from you right now at 800-383-9772.
And you can join Ferd and Sobieski, who likes the gardening show and listens to a lot of our programs but really enjoys the gardening show. Frank and Chris in Appleton called in with a contribution as well. They listen to the Ideas Network and the News Networks, and WPR is the only radio that they listen to. Pretty much everything is on it, is what Frank and Chris say, especially like a lot of programs, including Garden Talk, and that's why they called in with their contribution during this hour, and probably they also wanted to get a copy of that book. Maybe they're coming to the Cajun Bayou. I don't know. I haven't gotten all the names yet. I know that we have at least one pair from last year Don't get left outside on the outside looking in and knocking on the door. You know, you have to make your contribution. $1,200 contribution really help us out to meet our goal here. We've got about $5,000 to go to reach our goal for the whole program, and it'd be a wonderful thing if we could do that today. Really help us out, and you, who are the most important source of financial support for Wisconsin Public Radio, can do that with your contribution. When you call in, you know, you listen to the program. We're listener-supported, as Jim just got done saying. We ask you to help pay for the service that you use. And for people like Jeff Gilman, who is a regular on, been a regular guest on Garden Talk. Why is he a regular guest? Because he's articulate, he's smart, he knows what he's talking about. And Jeff is the kind of person we try to bring to you every Friday during Garden Talk. And I know lots of gardeners listen and tune in. Some people, somebody told me, you know what, I only tune in and listen to this particular program. Lots of people listen to all other programs as well. But I know there are people who only listen to Garden Talk because they're gardeners, they love the show. They tune in at 11 o'clock and they stay with us till 12:30. Well, that's great. I'm glad you do that. If you're one of those people, please do call in. When you call in, we're going to let you know that you are the most important source of information, of financial support for Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening. We're listener supported. It just all adds up to me on that we need to have your help to pay for this service.
Right now, we've gone over 50 calls for the program so far today. How much have we raised, Larry?
We've raised almost $7,000. I want to say a special thanks to Sustainable Dream Greenhouses for their donation. That was great for them to call in, for that company to call in, Sustainable Dream Greenhouses. What about you? You decide how much you'd like to contribute. As we said, $120, we'll, you know, you'll get the book and we'll send you the member benefit card. You decide what to give, though. Maybe you're going to give $1,200 in order to go to the Cajun Cookout on Larry's Bayou and take a look at Larry's financed house right now and talk to the great people at Joy Cardine. Gene Faraca is going to be there as well. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk, Scott Craven, wildlife ecologist, some of the people who are going to be there, along with some of our Wisconsin Public Radio on-air staff and other staff as well. So looking forward to hearing from you. Whatever your amount, whatever the amount you can afford, this is the time to call in the last 3.5 minutes or so of the program. 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to wpr.org. I said we're at 6,840. Let's get us over that 7,000 goal.
We need about $5,000 more.
Yeah.
Just a few more phone calls will put us over the goal for this 90 minutes, and it's important that we make the goal because we know that we have so many people listening on Friday, so many gardeners that are listening, and why not take this opportunity for you to show your financial support for Garden Talk and Wisconsin Public Radio. You talk with a phone answer who's an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, and it'll just take a minute or two for you to provide your information, make your decision, and you do that at 800-383-9772. Or, of course, you can go to WPR.org and sneak it in there.
And Phil Corvo has said to us earlier, we're really looking for about
5,500
contributors. And we're not even specifying an amount there. But we would like to hit 5,500 contributors, not for this program, but for the entire drive. Well, your call is, no matter what you can contribute, what you feel you can afford, it's very, very important to us. And again, for $120, we'll send you the book and the member benefit card, but maybe you can afford $60. Maybe you're a first-timer and say, well, I just want to get my feet wet. I can do $5 a month. But maybe you can say, hey, I'll do $10 a month. Or, as some people have said already, hey, we'll put in $1,200. And
we'll do it at $100 a month.
We can do it at $100
a month. You have to do it now, though, because if you don't do it before then, when the party's rocking, don't come knocking.
When the party's rocking, don't come knocking. I like that, Jim. I like that a lot. There's the rocking. There's the rocking. The rocking Cajun music. And we're rocking right through here to the last minute and a half of the program. You can join in right now with your contribution. 1-800-383-9772. 1-800-383-9772. Go online to WPR.org. We're going to have to go away here in just a little bit, in a few seconds, as a matter of fact. But there's still time for you to call. There's another minute and 20 seconds to get Jeff's book. A big thanks to Jeff Gilman for being with us today. And I know we're going to convince him to come back and talk another time as well. But now it's time for you to call it. Oh, we're over. We're over 9,000, Jim.
We're over 9,000. 2,500 to go to make it. Make your phone call right now. Put us over the top.
Put us over the top. And there's only 18 tickets left. So time is short. 1-800-383-9772 or go online to WPR.org. And thanks for listening.